Today is September the 17th, Sunday. The year is 2023. John and Valerie are not here, so let's say hello to John and Valerie in Ohio. Let's do it loud and clear. Hello,
John and Valerie.
There you go. A couple of people were enthusiastic, but everybody had a smile on their face when they said, okay, almost everybody had a smile on their face when they said, hello, John and Valerie. We love you guys. We miss you. We say that every week. Oh, excuse me. We say that every week, but we mean it every week. We really do enjoy John and Valerie. And anybody else that's listening to this, well, thank you. All right. We're looking at biblical life principles. I think this is week 38. We're almost to the end of the year. Good grief, we're almost in October. But we're looking at the biblical life principles, work ethics, how to treat one another, biblical principles for life, and we're looking at a character trait. And each Sunday morning, we home in on the character trait. Now, these may be psychological to some people, but there is spiritual depth and spiritual truth and spiritual maturity that all goes along with each character trait. And the more we live like Jesus, I'll say it this way. And you determine when and if you've heard this before. Each of us were created in the image of God. That is a biblical certainty. In Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image." You were created in the image of God. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says that Jesus is the express image of God. The Greek word there, I think it's number 5184, but I'm not sure. I think it is 5184, I think, but I'm not sure. But the Greek word there for express image is this: Jesus is the character of God. We're looking at character traits. Now, you determine when or if you've ever heard that. And I'll say it this way, you're going to determine that in the future. But anyway, all right, we are looking at the character traits. We started alphabetically. We started with A, we're going to end with zeal. I started zeal with the ending. But anyway, zeal. The last character trait is zeal from Titus chapter 2, verse 14. We're in R right now. It's the character trait of resourcefulness. I'll just give you an easy question. Some of you may know the answer. Some of you may not know the answer. When I use the character trait resourcefulness, what television show do you think of? You wouldn't have known that. Because that's not one of the shows we watch. And so if it's not a show that we watch, then it wouldn't be a show that she had been watching. Because she didn't use the television very much. I mean, her television time has expanded since we got married. And even then, she's doing her diamond art or something else, looking for verses, and she gets one sentence out of every 15 or so. She's busy doing things.
Doesn't she watch the Western stuff?
Sometimes. She recognized it.
I never sit down and just watch
television. No, she doesn't. Actually, neither do I, because I've always got something. Well, rarely, but I'm... When I sit down and watch television and nothing else, It's normally when I come in the house and I sit down until the first commercial. And then I get up and go get something and bring it back to start work. But I did sit there for a few minutes till the first commercial, and then I bring work over there. But anyway, MacIver is a clear illustration of the character trait of resourcefulness. Have you ever heard the term, I've got it written down here later, one man's problem is another man's treasure, but one man's trash is another man's treasure. One thing that I love to do is if there's something I'm going to throw away, and I think somebody might use this, instead of throwing away, there are plenty of times, not plenty of times, but a few times, that I've taken something from our house and I've driven it to somewhere on Wickham Road to a busy part of the road and put it on the side of the road, and within an hour or two, it's gone. We've done that here at the church. We take things that are trash to us that we're going to throw in the dumpster, televisions or different things, cabinet, whatever, and we put it on the pavement by the dumpster. Anybody that drives by and sees it, they're going to pull in and get it. And so the character trait of being resourceful is a valid character trait for Christians to have and use. Let's look at it. Let's define it. It's making the most with limited resources. When I start a project here at the church, Holly and Sarah say, oh, you're doing arts and crafts. It's just being resourceful. I use all sorts of different boxes for different storage things. It's just using limited resources and making the most of them. It's being resourceful and organizing and all sorts of other things. Number two, being resourceful is creative problem solving. You've got a problem and you need an answer, and you think, okay, here's the answer that I'm going to do. I did one of those this morning. Creative problem solving. Organizing files that I'm using now, and the way they were flapping down and bending over, and I thought, okay, how can I fix this? I know what I'll do. I put something together and I used it, and now my problem is solved. I'm not going to try to explain it. It's just how to organize folders in a manner that they don't fall down. And it's rather creative, and you'll never even notice it unless you see me with it. But it's, being resourceful is a good character trait to have, and it's creative problem solving. Number three, it is solution oriented regardless of any kind of obstacles. Most people would just go to the store and buy something, and you can resolve the problem in 2 or 3 minutes at the house. If you're just, you see the problem, you say, okay, what can I do to resolve this problem? We enjoy watching Shark Tank. Other than the greed of people, whether the greed of the sharks or greed of the people. Anybody ever watch Shark Tank? Not very many. Okay. I mean, creative entrepreneurs, I still say I might try to get on that show. And I've got an unusual. But anyway, that's something different. But being resourceful is a valid character trait. Let's look at the person who is resourceful. Excuse me. Number one, the person is a problem solver. You see the problem and you resolve it. Maybe it's ingenious, maybe it's enterprising, but the problem has been identified and solved. I'll give you a couple of illustrations. Anybody ever heard of Velcro? Where did it come from? What?
It's my cat.
Is that the cat's name?
Yes.
Okay. Other than Steve's cat, where did the product Velcro originate? Space industry. They saw a problem. Apollo 13 is an excellent illustration. There was an explosion on their way to the moon. And at some point during the movie, and I'm sure this was real, they said, okay, let's make a list of everything those guys have on board. So they made a list of everything. And then they had to be resourceful and make it so that the guys could breathe oxygen long enough to survive. They had to do that. If they didn't do it, the guys would have run out of air and they would have died in the Apollo 13. That is a true story of resourcefulness. Problem solving, ingenious enterprising. Now, by being resourceful, it could overcome delays or difficulties. And it doesn't really matter what the details are. I'm trying to think of details that I hadn't thought about yet. But being resourceful, number two, you overcome delays and difficulties. Maybe it's a shortcut. I don't know what. But resourcefulness is a good character trait. It makes normal objects into resolvable solution. You've got something that you know needs to be fixed. I know how I can do it. Phil Shirley is the type of guy that's extremely resourceful. He can take junk and make it into a viable product that's useful. It's taking ordinary things and solving the problem that's there so that that's useful, and then you move on in life and keep going, and you've got your finished product there. Number five, under Roman numeral two, the person who is resourceful is willing to help other. What? What did I say?
Five.
I thought I said four. Okay. I thought I remembered in my mind. Anyway, four. Roman numeral two, number four. The resourceful person is willing to help other people. In reality, that is Christianity. Matthew 7:12, do to others the way you'd want others to do to you. And if you've got a problem and somebody comes along and helps you resolve that problem, you're going to appreciate it. Whether you say thank you or not, you're going to appreciate it. Alan.
There are times that you're too close to the problem and you can't see the solution. Someone else looking at it from a different perspective can see a solution.
Correct. That's one of the issues with this creative solution. That's 11 or 12 pages long, whatever it is, from page 19 to 30, 11, 12 pages, whatever it is. But the key factor is one person that's resourceful sees the need somebody else has, and they're willing to get in and help them resolve the issue. And in Christianity, we should always be ready to help one another. We should almost never say no. Now, at our age, I mean all respect by this, at our age, we're at the point where we should be supervisors. I mean, over the last 50 years, I would only be guessing at how many times I've moved people. I do know the last roof that I did was Don Johnson's. And that was around 1993. We had about 20 guys on the roof, didn't we? Did it last? It lasted a while? You probably changed it since then.
20 years.
Okay. All right. So we didn't do bad. But I'll never forget. Every time I drive by your house, I look at the roof and say, not the same roof, but I can remember being up there. But we tore down the roof, put the new roof on. I didn't help with putting it in the finished product, because I knew better than to try that. But being resourceful Every one of us have the ability to think through the problem and see how to resolve it. All right, let's look at some thoughts. I've got here, one man's problem is another man's treasure. How was Tang started? The drink, Tang.
Space.
What? Space. How was the Gatorade drink started?
Football.
What school?
Florida.
My goodness. My uncle was an engineer on the team that developed Gatorade. And his contract at the University of Florida said, whatever invention comes from your work belongs to the school, not you. Gatorade started at the University of Florida to give the football players added strength on the field while they played. That's how it started. Now you can go to virtually any grocery store and buy Gatorade just to drink. All right, number two in Roman numeral 3. A thought is curious, determined, informed thinker using knowledge. That's the combination for a resourceful person. You see something, you get curious about it. You see an issue and you're determined to find an answer. You get to thinking, you resolve it, you've got the knowledge to get it done, you get it done. And then you typically move on and continue to use that. It might even get to the point where you realize, I forgot that I even did that. Now, I don't know if this is factual, but it may be. Has anybody ever been to the car museum on Algalley Boulevard just west of Wickham Road? Anybody? Okay, Steve, you're raising your head this way. Okay, and you got in for free. The guy's got almost 400 cars. Of the 400 cars, probably 250 or 300 of those cars are from the 50s and 60s and 70s, and they're in pristine condition. Under one roof. Multiple millions of dollars worth of cars there. I've heard that the guy made his money, don't know if this is true, but I've heard that he made his money with the barcode things. You go to any product and you'll see a barcode on it. Somebody had to originate that. I think he's one of the guys that helped develop that. And he got rich doing it. You never know who's done what. But the key factor here, as I was thinking about this, a resourceful person is going to be curious, determined, informed, thinking with using knowledge. And there's no end to what could happen. Matter of fact, now that I'm doing this lesson, I'm thinking I'm going to do what I need to do to try to get on the Shark Tank. Not going to give any indication of what it is. But it will be totally different than anything else that's ever been on the Shark Tank. And I know that with absolute certainty. And we enjoy the Shark Tank. But anyway, as a result of this lesson, I'm going to do what I need to do to try. Now, no guarantee that I'll get on there. But when I present what I'm doing, it will be different than anything else I have ever seen on the Shark Tank. My brother Tom used to watch it every week. He loved it. In the very beginning, I didn't like it. But anyway. All right, so now, Roman number 4. Let's look at the benefit of being resourceful. Unresolved things get done. Here's what we need to do. How can we do it? Have you ever heard the phrase, talk is cheap? If all you do is talk about the problem, nothing changes. Nothing gets done. The resourceful person takes it from takes it from a thought to conversation to action and then resolution.
We can do it.
We can do it. Every time Alan says we, I know what he means. But being resourceful gets it accomplished because you get off of your seat and you get into action. Number two, the benefit. Helps you achieve goals. You've got a problem that needs to be resolved. You find out how to resolve it, and you accomplish it. And then you're able to do what you want to do. One illustration, and it has been on this property. Has anybody ever heard of the Scott? Anybody know who Scott Carpenter is? One of the Mercury 7 astronauts. One of the original Mercury 7 astronauts. Has anybody ever heard of the Scott Carpenter analog station? I don't know if it's a Scott Carpenter space analog or just analog, but I'm just going to say the Scott Carpenter analog station. You guys haven't heard of it? Yes, you have. You have probably been inside the Scott Carpenter analog station. It is on display in a space museum, I think, in Colorado Springs, Colorado. It's in the museum on display, and I'm thinking you two have been inside it. The idea came to the mind of Dennis Chamberlain. The space shuttles are out in orbit. Nobody's doing anything under the ocean. Why not develop something that can be done underwater with the same experiments that are going on in the shuttle? Dennis was an employee. He got a chance to meet Scott Carpenter, the astronaut, gave him his idea. And Scott Carpenter says, yeah, let's do it. Put my name on it. All of a sudden, with the name Scott Carpenter on anything, it's got credibility. Dennis was the resourceful individual. Dennis designed the Scott Carpenter analog station. Dennis got all of the resources. Dennis is a resourceful man. After every election, I don't know that he does it as much now, but 25 years ago, after every election, Dennis and Claudia would go out in the neighborhood, in the communities, and they would help take yard signs down. Not just the little ones that go in your front yard, but the ones that needed 2x4s. And they would take them down, and the people would say, thank you for your help. And Dennis and Claudia would say, we'll get rid of it. They stored it all up. They drove it to Tennessee. And the 2x4s that were being used on political campaigns are now in the structure of the house they own in Tennessee. That's being resourceful. I remember in 1999, Dennis saw something at Walmart. He went and bought about 50 watches. They were solar watches. He sold them on eBay and made lots of money because they were Y2K watches. The way he explained them, he didn't lie about anything. He was just being resourceful. Dennis has always been resourceful. Dennis is the one that designed and built the Scott Carpenter analog station. It was dedicated on Kennedy Space Center property. It's the only NASA vehicle that's got an official chaplain. It was dedicated with the chaplain on the platform with Congressman Dave Weldon, the center director. Scott Carpenter was there. Dennis Chamberlain was there on the platform dedicating it. When the shuttle would go off in our orbit, the Scott analog station would be in the Key Largo underwater, doing the same experiments that the shuttle was doing and documenting all that. When it was finished being used, Dennis brought it to First Baptist Church of Cocoa Beach, had it set up, and all the students and any of the adults, you remember going on board? Kathy's shaking her head. Don, did you go on board too? And now you know it was a Scott Carpenter analog station. And it's in a museum in Colorado. Dennis is the resourceful guy that got it done. While he was building it, he experimented to make sure it worked in the swamps in Merritt Island. He took the Scott Carpenter analogs. It's about, I'm guessing, maybe 12 feet tall and maybe 7 feet wide and maybe 10 feet long. I've been in it underwater in Key Largo. Dennis is an excellent illustration of resourceful. I mean, in all sorts of ways, Dennis has been resourceful. And he's building an underwater city now. Dennis, he's the only guy I know that's got a submarine in his backyard. I've never been in his backyard, but I've seen the submarine in his backyard. Took $10,000 to have it delivered from where it was and put it into his backyard. It's about 40 or 50 feet long. It is a real submarine. I don't know how he's I mean, Dennis and I have talked about that submarine plenty of times. But anyway, the benefits of being resourceful, number two, it helps you achieve goal. Number three, it forces you to be more creative, because when you're resourceful, you're always seeing a need. And then you say, how can I resolve this need? Number four, it's a tremendous example for other people. Your resourcefulness, whether they tell you or not, people watch what you do and how you do it, what you say and how you say it. Pardon my French, what's normally next? English. I mean, somebody yesterday at the funeral, we gave people a chance to talk. One lady came up to the podium and she was talking. She made a comment and I almost said, I chose not to. I almost said, that's the same thing as being upset, isn't it? You figure out what she said. But people are always watching what you do, how you do it, what you say, how you say it. They're watching your facial expressions. Don't play poker if you get excited when you get a good hand. I'll give you a hint. If you're ever playing poker with Ron Pottinger and he bets on his hand, Ron Pottinger never bluffs. If he's betting on the hand, he's got it. Now, I don't know why Ron tells people that. Maybe he tells them that thinking they're not going to believe me. But getting back to the resourceful, being resourceful is a tremendous example for other people, and other people will see that in you, and they'll be challenged by the Lord to be more resourceful in their own life. Number five, it helps you be creative in other areas. The more resourceful you are, the more you're going to think and resolve issues. Number six, you see the problem, you start thinking, you plan, you execute, you review, you teach others. There are some people that say the people that can do it, and the people that can't do it, teach. But the best teacher is one that's been there, done it. My brother spent his entire career in the financial industry. Back in 1972, he worked for a company called McMillan Bloedel, a Canada company. Their big office was in Atlanta. And my brother's responsibility in 1972 was to take the finances at 5 o'clock and put them someplace that by 8 o'clock the next morning they would make money. And Millen Bloedel had enough finances to make that a meaningful job. I don't know what they had, but Tom's responsibility in 1972 was to creatively take the financial resources at 5 o'clock and use them some way overnight to make money by tomorrow morning. Alan, is that a possibility?
Oh, yeah.
Of course it is. And the more money you start with at 5 o'clock, the more you're going to have the next morning. And Tom was making over $20,000 a year doing it back in 1972. I remember that. All right, benefits. Number five, it helps you be creative. Number six, problem, think, plan, execute, review, teach others. Tom taught other people as a professor at Brevard Community College. Toward the end of his life, he was a professor of business and finance and accounting at Brevard Community College. He would take these young kids and pour into them some of the things that he had learned in business, being creative. That's life. It's you take the young generation and say, listen, I've got a lot of experience. I've gotten to the point where I can't do what I used to do, but I can teach you how to do it. And I've got proven track record because of trial and error. Number seven, it's truly biblical discipleship from experience. And the more experience you have, the more valuable your biblical discipleship is. You can have TP by hundreds of verses. Cheryl used to put that in her Bible. I don't remember which child has her Bible now. But she would have TP by a verse that means tested and proven. You can have a life of experience by living out biblical principles that you can teach to the next generation. That's the value of character traits. And this character trait is one of them, Roman numeral 4:7. It gives you the credibility to teach biblical discipleship from experience, because you've been there. Who was I in the car with? John Newman, Wednesday. I don't remember exactly what the conversation was, but I called my son-in-law, Jimmy Kiker, while John and I were on the way to the airport with Riley in the car. No, Riley was not in the car, just John and myself. I called Jimmy, and I got Jimmy to start talking about what he's doing now. He's got 17 years of experience in home construction. He has been involved in about 300 homes from the planning to the certificate of occupancy. He's been involved in about 300 homes in the Greenville area in the last 17 years. Recently, I think he's had two or three at least homes that he has designed and built himself as the general contractor. And he's just now starting his own business. And he and John talked for a couple minutes while we were driving to the airport. It was a fun conversation for me just to listen to these two guys talk. They talked about construction, finances. They talked about sports, football, basketball, all sorts of things, because both of them are rabid in sports. And both of them had to do the fantasy football. They had a great conversation. And I was enjoying just driving, listening. But Roman numeral 5:7, resourcefulness gives you the credibility to have solid, good, biblical discipleship from experience. You can tell stories of what you've done, not just give illustrations that you read in a book. Stories from your own life about the value of being resourceful. Last thing, you can do it. Every one of us can be resourceful. The only question is, will we? Let's pray. Father, there's so many people sitting in local churches today that could be resourceful. May your Holy Spirit speak to each person in all the churches that we're familiar with, and those that we don't even know, all across America, Father. May your Holy Spirit speak to your children about the character trait of resourcefulness and its need and usefulness in the body of Christ. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we, did you turn it off already? Okay, let me give you one illustration that just happened this morning. I got an email. It's a group email, and I think I responded to the group. It was from Sun Nguyen. Evidently, the church that Sun is going to now, Faith Baptist on Murrell, has asked Sun, either they have asked Sun to do this, or Sun is volunteering to do this, as doing evangelism and missions and being the mission director for their church. I think it's Sun volunteering. And he sent the email out about 4 a.m. You might have gotten it, did you? Okay. Because Sun sends her emails a lot of the time. But since this is church related, but anyway, I got a copy of it. And I already, I think I responded in the car on the way to church. And I said, I've known Sun for almost 30 years. He's been involved in missions. He's familiar with this. He loves evangelism. This would be a perfect fit for Sun. The character trait of resourcefulness, the time that Sun went to Vietnam, July of 96, and he came back to our church and he had met three guys that said, those three guys said, if you send me $15 a month, I will be a full-time evangelist on my bicycle. $15 a month. And the church said, Son, we'll help you with that. That's how the Far East ministry got started. And the quarterly report that he gave this morning, I think it was 400 people heard the gospel. 98 people got saved. Oh my goodness, yes. He was in this church for a long time. Yeah. Yeah. I still say I'm his pastor. And Brian knows that. I don't know if he's okay with it or not, but it doesn't matter. But he goes to that church. Yeah, I mean, they only live, good grief, a half a mile from that church over in Rockledge. But anyway, I don't know if Son's going to be the director of missions, but he's earned the right to have that position because mission is his passion. He lives for missions. And he's resourceful in how to use the funds too. One trip that Son, are we still being recorded? Okay, I'm going to end with this. One trip that Son went on with somebody. They got detained by the police. And the police said, we're going to arrest this guy and Son, you can leave. And you know what Son said? I'm not leaving without him. That's the kind of character of Sun Nguyen. He's sometimes difficult to get along with. Because, I mean, he's just Sun. He's such a great guy. But he said to the police in Vietnam, I'm not leaving without him. About 12 hours later, both guys were released. What a character. Sun is such a nice guy. I can remember going to to Houston, Texas with him, just the two of us. Okay. Bye, y'all.